tonight on PBS. What up, Skip? How you doing, man?
Fine. How you doing, dear brother?
I'm good. All right. So who are you going to do? You got Stephen King.
Stephen King.
Courtney Vance and actress Gloria Rubin.
That's right.
And if you look at our fathers.
You look at them, you think, what do these three people have in common? And you never know, Tom, until you get in their family tree. Each one wanted to know information about their fathers and or their father's line. They had lost all this information, and we brought it back for each one of them.
Okay, let's start with Stephen King. His father left him?
His father walked out to get a pack of cigarettes when Stephen was 2 years old, and Stephen never saw him again. This brother just disappeared. And guess what? So Stephen said, I want you to find my father. And I showed him a picture of his father, and he goes, that's my father? He didn't even know what he looked like, man. Wow. And it turns out that his name wasn't even King. His father's name was Donald Pollock. Can you imagine the 50 million books being sold by Stephen Pollock? And it turns out that his father lost his father. Stephen's grandfather died in the great flu epidemic, the Spanish flu epidemic of 1918. So his father was traumatized, too. When he was 6 years old, he lost his father. So you could see the pattern emerging there. And we were able to trace his family back all the way to the Civil War. And six of his uncles fought for the Union to liberate the slaves. But Courtney Vance's story is one of the most moving that we've ever traced. Courtney's father was Conroy Vance, and he was adopted. So Courtney, and he never found his birth parents. And Courtney wanted us to do that. So, man, we found Courtney Vance's grandmother. His father's mother, Ardella Vance, was 17 on the south side of Chicago, and she had a baby. She wasn't married. And guess what? Courtney's father, Conroy, was put up for an adoption in a house on a street in the south side. His birth mother lived right around the corner his whole childhood.
That happens.
And he never knew it. And I wonder if, you know, when they were playing stickball in the street or touch football or something, this woman would walk by and think, that's my son, rub his head, maybe give him a quarter. It's so amazing. And then we used DNA to get on the trail of Courtney's grandfather. And we were able to find an identical match with a Dr. Arrington, who lives in the South, and we're trying to get in touch with him to do more DNA tests to see whether his direct descendant or one of his cousins, you know, fathered Courtney's father. And then we found that Courtney's second great-great-grandfather, we found a slave ad. His name was John Janey, and he ran away from his master in Maryland in 1842. Then when the Civil War ran out, when the Civil War got started, he joined the 22nd Regiment of the U.S. Colored Troops and was President Lincoln's funeral procession. You see, what we do is we bring black history back to life. You know, the Gettysburg Address, right? And no black men fought at the Battle of Gettysburg. Abraham Lincoln gives his speech on November 19th. It's the first national cemetery. And remember, they had to bury all those bodies. 3,500 bodies were either rotting corpses or else ill buried. So they gave the contract to bury these bodies to a white man named F.W. Biersecker. And what's he do? He hires a black man to hire other black men, a crew, to bury all those bodies. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that man's name was Basil Biggs Sr., and he was Anna Deavere Smith's great-great-grandfather.
The great actress and storyteller herself, playwright.
The great actress, and she had no idea, and he was an actual conductor on the Underground Railroad. So now, whenever anybody thinks about Lincoln's speech or Gettysburg, the whole thing was built on a foundation created by black men. A crew of seven black men buried all those bodies and never got the credit.
Dr. Henry Louis Skip Gates is our guest, and I'm wondering, did they come to you or in terms of finding out their paternal roots?
No. How
was this marriage between you?
Well, we sit down and we make lists of people, like Tom, when I did Tom for African American Lives. Mm-hmm. And there are people I either admire or wanted to meet. And now when I did the first couple series, I only did African Americans. And this lady who identified herself as being of Russian Jewish heritage wrote to me and said, how come you don't do everybody? What are you, a racist? Mm-hmm. How come you only do black people, which cracked me up? And mm-hmm. so I thought, okay. And so we expanded, and now we do Asians, Latinos, Jewish people, Roman Catholics. We do everybody.
But I love the seven degrees of Kevin Bacon, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And we find amazing, surprising stories for everybody. Like Anderson Cooper and Ken Burns both descend from men who owned slaves. And Anderson Cooper's ancestor locked one of his slaves up in Choctaw County, Alabama in 1860. His name was Burwell Boykin. He had 12 slaves. One of them kept trying to run away. He locked him up in a cotton shed, and the next day let him out, and the slave grabbed the master's hoe and beat him to death on the spot.
I don't miss a Skip Gates special on PBS. Season 2. It premieres tonight on PBS.
You are the best.
Check your local listings. Finding Your Roots. Thanks,